Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Hello, my name is Margaret Metzger. Please join me in the use and prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Holy God, we have been richly fed with your good food and homes, education and work, and so many things we take for granted. Feed us now with your glorious presence and with your word that humbles us, even as we are lifted up to heights we cannot have imagined. Amen. Today's first scripture reading will be from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 33 through 37. Listen to God's word. They came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be the last and servant of all." When he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The second scripture reading is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 2. "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that you have entertained the angels without knowing it." This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Holy One, we know you are good. We know that you give us your river of life that we can bathe in and know you and feel the love maybe that we don't feel here. So be with all of us today so we can feel your love. We can feel your way of love, and you can be the mouthpiece here that I am here to be and show everyone who you are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus states in the Gospel of Mark that Maggie just read, one of them, of the scriptures that she read, "Whoever would be great in God's realm must be a servant of all, the least of all." The word servant in that scripture in the Greek is diakonos. Diakonos, does that sound like something familiar to you? That is where we get the word deacons. And in this church, we have a board of deacons taken after the many times that word is in the New Testament and also, correlated with the Old Testament. One of the earliest references to deacons is seen in Paul's letter to the Romans. Now, Paul's letter to the Romans was written, most scholars think, about 20 years after Jesus, died, rose again, and ascended to heaven. Only 20 years later, we might think 20 years is a lot, but, in that it had to gain some momentum. They had to work some things out. Anyway, it's written from Turkey, most likely, to the Romans. Paul wrote this letter about 20 years later, and in that, a woman named Phoebe is mentioned as a deacon, commended. She's traveling and commended to the Romans. She's probably carrying the letter to the Romans, the Roman church, the church in Rome, as a deacon, and he says, "Give her what she needs. She's a benefactor. She's doing good for us." The word diakonos, as I said, is also in that book of Mark, which was written about 30 to 40 years after Christ, even though we think that's what he said then, at the time. Here in the Presbyterian Church, like I said, we have a board of deacons, and their calling is to provide material things for those in need. I don't know how much you know about the workings of this church, if you get involved or not, and that's fine. Everybody has their own way of getting involved. Anyway, we have a board of deacons, and what they do is they provide material things for people. In your envelopes, if you get envelopes from the church, you have an envelope that will allow you to contribute to the deacon's fund, which we keep for that purpose. So in that is actually modeled after the book of Acts, which was written about Jerusalem, written around 40 to 50 years later than Christ was walking the earth. And it says that there was an imbalance. You know, people were complaining that some were getting more than others. And so they appointed seven men to handle that because the apostles were out preaching, evangelizing, telling people about Jesus. There's different jobs in the church to do. And the deacons do that one here as well as then. By the time of the book of Timothy, which was written about 100 years after Christ, the office had become rules for it. Rules in the book of Timothy, it says, deacons must be serious, not double-tongued, not indulging, not greedy, holding to the mystery of the faith, first tested, blameless. How many of you are blameless? Only married once, manage their children. Yeah, those are very hard to quantify, aren't they? Yeah. So we do our best, but, you know. Are people perfect? No. Anyway, our deacons do that. But we can see both men and women in different settings were allowed to be deacons. And Christ said this by using a child. He said, you got to be the servant of all. You have to be the servant even of the insignificant. And children at that time were. They're not today, thankfully. This also fits with the love one another theme, doesn't it? Love one another that Jesus said. We have to love one another. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, if you want to attain eternal life, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. So our board of deacons is charged with this ministry. We have that fund, as I said. What it does, and our pastors, we three pastors, manage this every week, pretty much, when people come to our door, members or the community members alike come to us and say, we need something. And the Board of Deacons provides food, temporary housing, rent payments, utility bills, car payments, gas for their cars, bus tickets, medicines, all of those things. If you're aware of this already, great. If you're not, I'm telling you. That's why I'm telling you. I want you to know. These are some of the ministries of our church, and we have many. We have many helping ministries, which many of you are involved in, and I am thankful for that. Many. Family Promise, Faithful Waters, and Housing. Knitting Ministry, which we're going to hear about a little later. Many, many others. So the Deacons Fund helps people who walk through the door. It is a direct ministry to people who directly ask us for what they need on any given day. So to even illustrate that a little further, I want to tell you something that just recently happened that I thought was pretty different, a little amazing. Maybe speaks to that Hebrews passage that was just read. On the day of Pastor Stephanie's installation, which was about a month ago, there was a man who came in right before the service, was about to start, with two shopping bags and a backpack on his back, and said, I need lodging. I need my hotel paid for, so could you pay for it? And I wasn't here yet because I wasn't involved in the service, so I only got here right before the service. And the deacons and the people that were out in the narthex handing out the bulletins and doing what they do said to the man, well, we have a pastor, but we don't know where they are. And so why don't you just sit in the church? We're going to have a church service, and we'll find out what we can do for you. So they were looking for me when I walked in the door. And they found me, and I pointed out the man in the pew. And so since the service was just about to start, like 2 minutes, 3 minutes, I knew I had to do that, let that happen. So I just went over, introduced myself, said, we'll help you after the service. He was perfectly happy to do that, to sit through the service and wait patiently. And the man looked at me when I introduced myself and I said that. He looked at me very, very serenely and said, okay. So that happened. But during the service, I was thinking how I was going to do that and with everything else going on. And so when the service was over, I went to a deacon at the back. It was Andy Baranek, if any of you know him. He gave me permission to use his name and asked him if he could help me with this because I figured I'd need help. So he said immediately, oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't know what he had to do that day, but he stopped what he was going to do that day and decided to help, and he did. So after the service, we were having a reception, right? We had a reception right here in the fellowship hall and with food and drinks and lots of celebration. So we invited the man to come to the celebration with us while I figured out what I was going to do to help the man. And so we came, sat down at the table with him. He got his food, and I began to figure out what I was going to do. When I sat down with the man at the table and talked to him, I found out what I was going to do. He was very calm and quiet. But comfortable, seemed very comfortable here with us. And it occurred to me that all the other people here didn't know who was with us. And that was okay. You know, you didn't need to. You were celebrating. But he was very calm, very serene, talkative, but not much. So when I found out from him what he needed, and I needed to go to my office to try to figure out how I was going to do that, I had gotten two of my gluten-free cupcakes. And they were very good, by the way. I don't know who made them, but they were very good. Two gluten-free cupcakes, and I only ate one of them. So when I left the table, I said, watch my cupcake, to the guys there. They were all guys. And they laughed, of course, and said, okay, well, watch your cupcake. Well, you know, the man was at the table as well, and everyone laughed. So I went and I figured it out, and I came back, and I said to the man, you know, that we were going to... I found out that the hotel was a couple of miles away that he had been staying at, and I wasn't going to make him walk, you know, back to that hotel, because he probably had walked here. And so we drove him, Andy, and I went to the hotel and fixed it up for him, gave him three nights hotel. So you, whoever you are out there who gave to that deacon's fund... You are a part of that ministry. You gave the man three nights hotel. You know, it was something odd, though, about the man when I was... He wasn't, like, anxious. He wasn't overly talkative. He wasn't telling me how urgently he needed this and how anxious he was. He wasn't. It was very serene. It was almost like... Well, he didn't expect... He wasn't very expecting, but it was almost like he expected. Well, we did tell him we were going to help him. But there was something a little different about him. And if I saw the face of Jesus in anybody in my life, I saw the face of Jesus in that man. It was almost like in Hebrews where it says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing some have entertained angels without knowing it. Yeah. If anybody fit that bill, I think it might have been him. Do you believe in angels? Do you believe angels exist? Do you think angels are people? Do you think angels are messengers from God? Because that's what the word means. Messengers from heaven above. They don't always have wings. In fact, most of the time they don't in the Bible. Can angels walk the earth at times without wings? You know, there's science on this more and more about, you know, just situations that don't seem normal. And I'm not going to go into that. There just is, if you want to look it up, that makes it maybe possible. But it occurred to me that this man afterwards, at least, it occurred to me that this man might have been a visitation to us to see where we were, what we do, what our hospitality is. And we showed hospitality, we did. It occurred to me, though, when I was leaving the table with my cupcake, you know, worried about my cupcake, that I was worried about my cupcake. And he was worried about basic housing. What a difference, what a privilege I have to be worried about my cupcake and not my housing. I'm telling you this because I want you to know, like at least one incident where your contributions have helped, and we do it all the time. We help people who come to the door and we help members that are struggling. We do it all the time. Many churches do it. Many churches can't, but we do. Some people tell me when they come here that there are organizations that say, just start calling around to churches because they will help. And ours does. You do. It's hospitality. In fact, one time last week, I was handling somebody who wanted a hotel covered, and by the time I could get it approved by the deacons, another church had covered it. So they're out there, and that's a good thing, isn't it? It's a good thing because the church has a mission, and that's one of them. The church is called to ministry by Christ is to be servants, like it says in the book of Mark. Your deacons fund contributions very often pay for requests for this, the least of these, and maybe, as it says in Matthew 25, for Jesus himself. Now, I don't know if this man was an angel. I don't know. Or Jesus, who knows? Probably not. But maybe we were visited. And according to the writer of Hebrews, if you believe that, it's possible. We don't do it. We are called to do things for the least of these. And if you do it to the least of these, Jesus says, you do it to me. But we don't do it just to entertain angels, do we? No. No, no. We do it because love is the only thing. Love is the only thing that will save the world. You are part of this. We know this. And we live it here as best we can. I think it's good to let the congregation know some personal ways your contributions are being used. So now you know. At least one account, which I thought was important to let you know about. We are a force in the community, but we can always use more people to get involved in some of these ministries that help the least and the lost, or just people in need, or people in need of a hand up. It runs the gamut. They have all sorts of needs. I'm sure you've had needs in your time. There are many opportunities to get involved using your love, the love you have in your heart, the love God gave you through the Holy Spirit to save the world while we follow Christ. And so I encourage you to do so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.